Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you here again. Trust God would speak to us in this time. I'm going to pick up a familiar passage, I think, for most of us. For sake of time, I won't read the passage, but I'm referring to Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 17, which is the passage where we read about Jacob being on the run, and he gets the vision of the angels going up and down the ladder to him. I think a passage that most of us are familiar with. And just for context, we know that he's cheated Esau, he's deceived his father. And yet, what is encouraging to us is that God still meets Jacob, and I think we can relate to that. He still meets us, right? God still remains committed to his promises. Even when we are running away from him, God is still running, turning towards us. But we see in this that there are consequences. His family has been torn apart. As far as we know, he never saw his mother again. And all the prosperity that should have been Jacob's as being born to one of the richest men then, I mean, he was like being born in an Ambani or a Tata family, seems that he has lost it all, right? And all because he couldn't wait, he took a shortcut. And the question perhaps for us is, can we relate to that, right? How often where have we been where we have God's promise, but we can't wait? I mean, I struggle with that myself, right? His timing doesn't fit our timetable. And so we tend to cut corners, perhaps pad our resume, you know, inflate the facts. And we learn the hard way that there are no shortcuts with God. Right. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us to speed up the process. And all Rebecca and Jacob had to do was to wait, but that was the one thing they couldn't do. And so, to each of us this morning, where are we today? What are we waiting for? We're coming to the end of another year, and perhaps there's stuff we've been praying for. What are we seeking? And where have we been tempted, perhaps, in this year to even give God a slight nudge to speed up his plan? Beloved, his time is perfect. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need any deception or manipulation. But sometimes I think we can all relate to that. We are like Jacob, and we end up taking things in our own hand and paying the consequences, finding ourselves like Jacob in a wilderness. But there are also times where we have not done anything like that, and yet we find ourselves in a wilderness. And perhaps some of you are there this morning, right? It's not a wilderness of our own making, but yet we're in a desolate place. Whatever's happened, circumstances have gone wrong, and we're in a broken place. And we can find ourselves like Jacob in a place, no man's land. And my word to you this morning, I believe God's word to us is that let's not begrudge those times. They're not easy places. I've been there myself. I have no desire to go back and be there again. But it's also in those times where we actually experience a closeness and a tangible presence of God, which we don't experience when other things are going right. So, like Jacob, I pray that God's grace would find us today wherever we are. And so we catch up with Jacob, and he's now gone about 43 miles from his home. He's about 11 miles north of Jerusalem, and he's outside a city of Luz on the second day. We don't know why he didn't go in. Perhaps he was scared of the people. But as Max Lucado says, that, you know, here he takes a stone and puts it under his head, and he says, "Here we have the Bronze Age version of the prodigal son." Right? But unlike the prodigal son, he doesn't come to his senses. He doesn't say, "I'll arise and go back to my father." There's no remorse, there's no initiative, no conviction of wrongdoing. He doesn't pray, you know, like Jonah. He doesn't weep like Peter, which is what makes this whole story so interesting, right? Because we read that he dozed and he dreamed, and there was a ladder resting on the earth and reaching up into heaven, and he saw angels going up and down. And then it says, then Jacob saw the Lord standing above the ladder. And that's what I just titled this devotion this morning, because God's presence, God's grace opens Jacob's eyes to God's presence over there. Jacob sees that there's a ladder spanning the distance between where he is and heaven. And it's a busy ladder. The angels going up and down. And Jacob is literally quite, he's amazed, right? A literal translation would be, oh, there's a ladder, the angels. Look, the Lord himself, right? His mouth's open. And Jacob awakes to realize that he's not alone. He thought he was alone, right? But he's surrounded by millions and millions of the august company of heaven. And beloved, that's the word that I think we need this morning. That's true for each one of us, whether we feel it or not. Remember, Jesus said that there were 80,000 angels ready to come to his rescue. And particularly at this time of Christmas, we keep thinking and talking about the shepherds and how they saw the angels. And I was just reminded that, we have two or three instances in scripture where, as it were, the heavens are open. Jacob sees the angels, the shepherd sees the angels. And in the book of Revelation, John gets a vision and he sees the worshiping throng. That is something that's always there. Whether we know it, whether we sense it or not, we may know it intellectually, but I pray that we'd gather that in our heart, that that's always there. Sometimes God peels the curtain back, but the fact of the matter is that we have this countless thousands of angels gathered there, and they've been given to us, right? They're spirits of God, we're told in Hebrews, sent to help those who receive salvation. And that's us, right? Psalm 91 promises that he'll send, put his angels in charge of you to watch over you wherever you go, right? And so this morning, the assurance to us is that God knows where to find us. He found Jacob in the wilderness. He can find you and me. He can find someone in a hospital bed, wherever it is. That wherever we are, the same message that was given to Jacob is to us, that whenever we may be at our lowest, God is still watching from the highest. And between us stretches this conduit of grace upon which his messengers carry out his will. We read in Revelation of how they took the prayers of people and offered it up, and the smoke billowed up from the incense-led prayers and before God. And then God responds to those prayers with thunder, right? And it says the angel filled the center, a censer with fire from the altar, and it heaved to earth. It set off thunder, voices, lightning. Do we appreciate that when we pray this morning, whatever we're praying for at the start of this point of time, whether it's our family, whether it's our country, whether it's our church, whether it's our kids, right? Our prayers trigger the ascension of angels and the downpour of power. And this is to Jacob. So I'm so grateful Jacob's in the Bible, because it was only Abraham and Isaac, we would think we're in a different category. But if God can do that for Jacob, he can do it for each one of us. And he promises him not just that he meets him there, but he promises him there's no scolding, no time out. He says, I'll be with you, I'll watch over you, and I'll bring you back to this land. God committed himself, and he's committed himself to us, to our lifelong care, even though he has done nothing to deserve it, and neither have we. And he does that for us. So wherever you are this day, as we come to an end of another year, be assured that God is still faithful. Because scripture tells us that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. If you are this morning feeling that we've exhausted God's stores of grace, if you feel you've blown it once just too many times, let me remind you that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. His love has no limit, his grace has no end, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives and he gives and he gives again. And so the promise for us, even as we go into a new year, is that I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. And so Jacob comes up with that, gets this sort of eureka moment, and he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And that's what I just titled our, devotion this morning, right? Are we aware that God is in our place as we go in our home right now, as we go into our offices today? Can we say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it? I have been blissfully unaware. So often we do. I am guilty of the same. Greg Rochelle says we function as functional atheists, because when we leave church on Sunday and we go to work on Monday morning, we leave God behind, but we don't. He's there with us, even if we mentally think we've left him behind. He inhabits our workplace. And you and I have much greater promises today than Jacob had. And he says that I will not leave you. Right? And so I pray that we would remind ourselves today that we have a much greater ladder. We don't just see a ladder, a vision to heaven, but we have the Lord Jesus himself, who is our himself, our stairway, our ladder to heaven. He's our go-between, always there at both ends of the ladder. Jehovah at the top, Jehovah at the bottom. So the question is not, is he active today, but are we watching out for him? And so Jacob responds to this, and he calls the pot, takes his stone pillow, and he makes it a pillar. He pours oil on it, and he calls that place Bethel, because he turns the place which he thought that was a symbol of all that he lacked, and he turns it into a memorial of what he's found. And I pray that perhaps this season, as a family, we've typically done that. Each year as we put up our Christmas tree, as it were, it's a sort of Ebenezer again. A reminder to us and to others of God's faithfulness that he's brought us thus far. And I pray for each one of us that we would be able to say today and in this season that the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And before I close, I want to just take one more point onto this, is that we would think that this sort of experience would change Jacob. We think if that happened to me, certainly it would change who I am. But we find a very interesting turn in this. Right, because then it says Jacob made a vow. He said, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey so that I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up will be a pillar, will be God's house, and of all you give me, I'll give you a tenth. Do we get that? If you, then I will. If you'll be with me, if you'll watch over me, if you'll feed me, if you'll clothe me, if you bring me back, then I, Jacob, will declare you as my God. I'll build a house to worship you and give you a tenth of all that you give me. Jacob is haggling, right? He's trading. I mean, it's typical in the Middle East today, but he's hammering out a contract with God. And he's saying, God, that my belief in you is contingent on your protection of me, right? Feed me, take care of me, and then I will declare you as my God. And the question is, do we do the same, right? Is our belief on God hinged on his response to our prayers? And the word for that is transactional theology. Right, which means that you and I meet God on equal terms. He has what I want, and I have something he wants, and so we reach an agreement. Right? So, God, if you'll give me this job, then I will tithe. If you'll heal my child, then I will serve you. Right? And yet the question must be, how can we ever do that? How can you and I ever negotiate with God? A.W. Tozer says that left to ourselves, we tend immediately to reduce God to manageable terms. We want to get him where we can use him. or at least know where he is when we need him. We want a God whom in some measure we can control. And when we get into a situation like that, and I think we can all relate to it, I've also prayed prayers like that. What we're trying to do really is to make God into that little Aladdin's genie, right? I'll rub the lamp and you'll do what I ask. Or I give the right prayer, it's like a pin in the ATM and out will come the blessings. But beloved, we're bordering on heresy over there because we're exchanging the transcendent God to whom we are accountable to a dependent God who's accountable to us. And the end result is that we will always be disillusioned. How many times you hear somebody, oh, I prayed, but God didn't answer, so I gave up on God. As far as I'm concerned, no healing came, so there's no God. For those of us, I think, who've been Christians for a season, and I think most of us on the call are, I think we've experienced that with God, there's no quid pro quo. He doesn't bargain, right? God loves us, but at the end of the day, there's no bargaining with him. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which means that he's holy, he's unique, he's separated. We are made in his image, he's not made in ours. And so I pray this morning that we would be protected from ever getting into a situation like Jacob finds himself in, right? Because he is in a, God we know is in a totally different is in a total different realm. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And Max Lucado says that nothing stunts our spiritual development more than a flea market view of God, right? The truth is many people are angry with God just because God is actually God. They're not angry that he didn't deliver what he promised. They're angry because he didn't deliver what they expected or demanded. And so when we replace God with the awe that is due to him and put ourselves in a place of negotiation, what we're doing is really making him our servant and our slave. God does not exist for us. We exist for him. And yet the Lord is so patient with us and Jacob. As the psalmist says, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. So as we, you know, pray, as we bring our requests to him, which we're absolutely right to do and which he invites us to do, we need to also come with the attitude that we trust him to do what is best. Not what we want, but what is best. And with that assurance, we know that like Jacob, God will lead us home. I don't know how this year will end. If the Lord tarries, we come into a new year in 2 weeks. I don't know what 2024 has for us. But we know each one of us as we look at our lives that like Jacob, God will bring us back. Jacob had many, many more years of trouble. He had the years with Laban. He had the cheating there. And then we need that God tells him to head back and he meets him again and he wrestles with him and Jacob walks with a limp and then he meets his brother Esau. And but at the end of it, finally, God says, come back, come to Bethel. And the story end basically is that God never gives up on Jacob and he never gives up on us, right? God still continues to take the initiative. And the hero of the story is always in this, it's God, it's not Jacob, right? Time and again, God even meets him and at the end, after many years, says, no longer are you Jacob, but you will be Israel. Jacob forgot God, and I think we can put our names in that place. Nathan forgot God, but God never forgot Jacob. God never forgot Nathan. He promised to bless Jacob, and he continues to bless him. And the same is true for us. As we look where we have come, and as we look forward into the future, we can trust him for what lies ahead. God brought Jacob home, and God will bring each one of us home as well. I wonder as he came back whether he went looking for that rock which he had poured oil on so many years ago. But the assurance for us this morning is that God will meet us, God will pursue us, and God will follow us all the days of our life. That's why the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And I pray that for each one of us, like Jacob, we would end well worshiping on our staff. May God bless his word. If you have any questions, happy to take it. Okay, then let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you have led and guided us this past year. Lord, we look forward to all that you have in store for us. Lord, I pray that the season would be one in which we would know in a very real sense that you are here present with us, that you meet us today as you met Jacob or the shepherds. Lord, we pray that your presence and the power that is your presence brings would be real and tangible to each of us, wherever we are today, that we would say, truly, the Lord is in this place. We ask this as commit ourselves to your care in Jesus' name. Amen.